Okay, I'll then take the paper as read. There are a few things I just wanted to say on top of what was reported in the paper, and then I'll ask if anyone's got any questions. The first thing was that it hasn't come across in the paper, but we've alluded to it in the meeting. We've moved to new arrangements in terms of CCG governance on an interim basis, where we have an interim accountable officer who is Maggie McIsaac, who is the accountable officer, chief executive for four of the Hampshire CCGs on the mainland, who formed a partnership about a year ago, and it is only a partnership, it's nothing to do with mergers. They've been working for a year, and we expressed an interest to join them, recognising that as a small CCG, in terms of being sustainable and needing support and more expertise and partnership working, we needed to do something. That's what we agreed to do as a governing body at the beginning of April. So I will, on a day-to-day basis, be carrying out the chief officer duties of the CCG, but Maggie McIsaac will be our interim accountable officer. And over the next few months, we'll be working with partners in the other CCGs and a partnership to look at how that works in the future, but recognising that it's really important in terms of getting our place, so our local arrangements in place by the local care board, and working with partners in the local authority and the trust to do that. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was clear on our arrangements for this period of time. The timescale in terms of the next steps and what it might look like are that we're looking to take something to our governing body in July, which is also our AGM, to describe what the future might start to look like. But as you can imagine, it's going to take quite a long time for us all to work through on the island and at more scale exactly what that means in terms of commissioning arrangements moving forwards. The second thing I wanted to say was that I completely endorse what Carol said within her report about moving forwards at a much more faster pace with our community services review and transformation, and also around learning from other areas. So working with the partnership, we're already benefiting from people coming over to work with us, volunteering to share exactly what's happening. So there'll be a lot more of that going on, which is really positive. And the third thing I wanted to really say is that there's a lot of fantastic transformation that we're planning to do and we're starting to really achieve, but we really do need to recognise, and I don't mean to be a party pooper, the risk of making sure that we're covering business as usual, particularly around stabilising and improving of the services on the island, the health and care services. So we have capacity issues that we need to recognise that we're really focusing in on our priorities, not having too broad a scope in what we're doing, have ambition, but making sure that we've got what we need to deliver that. So I just really wanted to emphasise that, because there is so much that we want to do and we're very excited about. We just need to make sure that we have everything in place to do that. So happy to take any questions.
Thank you. I've got three lined up, so I'll try and go all off. Yeah. It's Jeff, Jay, and Paul. That was pretty fast. Yeah.
Jeff, thank you, and thanks for your report, Loretta. I'm aware you've got CCG governing body this afternoon, and there's a report going there that says that you're a £9.4 million savings that you're going to have to deliver this year. The report also refers to, this is despite the fact that you've already made significant savings, which is the reduction of service for islanders, but also despite the acute services redesign programme. Now forgive me, but I am sure that the constant message has been, both to me, to people elsewhere, to members of my association, etc., is that the acute services redesign was not about savings, and yet the report is suggesting that it was entirely about savings. Can you clarify that for me, please? Thank you.
Of course. If the report comes across in that way, it's absolutely not meant to. So they're two separate issues, but there is an overlap. The first issue that we've known for many years is that we were going to end up, as many systems are, in a place where the allocations that we have are not sufficient for the way that we currently deliver and commission services. So the gap this year, yes, we are reporting we would need to make £9.4 million savings to achieve our current agreed control total, which is break-even. We are working with partners through that to look at how can we do that within what's within our gift, which is around the way that we use medicines on the island. That's one particular area because we have the drugs budget within our allocation. And also to have a look at running costs, etc. But there's most of our money is spent on commissioning services from local partners, and therefore we've got to work together to look at schemes where we can deliver things in a better way and a cheaper way. The acute services review was not focused 100% on the money. It was about clinical sustainability. That was where our biggest concern came from. We looked at services, and there are particular services which are provided on the island, and it's been extremely challenging to be able to deliver those locally with the resources we're able to secure on the island and provide. So it was focused on clinical sustainability. There was a view that by doing things differently we could save money. I think we all knew that that may not be possible, because if we're paying one rate for services on the island, even if they were provided off the island, we'd have to pay the same rate to somebody else to provide them, so no savings. I think what we've pointed out in the review is that there are things we can do in terms of efficiencies, but this is not about the money, this is about clinical sustainability in terms of the review. So it's not about delivering savings this year or next year.
Thank you for the rhetoric. I would just say it, I think it's important that if that is your message, you need it to be consistent at all times, because that's not the message that people are getting. And I have to admit, I have immense scepticism about what you've said. But I would also comment that we are still some way off the public consultation. And that once again, we seem to be this assumption that this is all cut and dried. And that was a serious concern to the members of my association, to people I talk to, the people I come into contact throughout my life as a democratically elected representative. In terms of the 9.4 million, I would just ask the Chair, if you don't mind, what are the implications going to be for islanders? Is it going to be even less services delivered? It's a rhetorical question. What sort of things are going to be under threat? But can I also finally just say, from my personal point of view, as somebody who uses a lot of medication through a health condition I have, the waste in that system on this island, I'm sure it's elsewhere in Britain, is appalling. The amount of drugs that must be destroyed that are inappropriately prescribed or mistakes by the pharmacies, etc., I'm sure you could probably save those millions quite comfortably without attacking the services that people depend on from our NHS. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, mind for me not screening me, Keith, but I think you're
right. I know, but I'll let
that's a fair point, and thank you for your comprehensive answer, Director, on that. I think Jeff makes a valid point, which I'm sure in due course you'll update us on, and at least he's done what he's required to do from behalf of the group. I've got Claire and I've got Paul.
Two things. Firstly, which of the meetings are made public so the public can go to? Could you just make that clear before I ask my other question, because I know there is such a huge level of interest in this.
The meetings in public, because I know that there is something we're reviewing around that, so it's meetings held in public rather than public meetings at the moment, are the governing body meeting and also the primary care committee.
And how does the public know about that?
They're advertised in the local press.
in my next question. Sorry about this, Loretta. I think we've agreed through adult social care and the sayings that we've made that looking at systems and processes is usually the best way to start. And being the mental health champion for the local authority, I've had many meetings with families whose daughters, usually young women, who have borderline personality disorder. And one of the things that has quite horrified me is that we can't deal with this here. It's quite a prevalent issue. You probably have about 10 young women a year on the island who will suffer from this. We don't have a psychiatrist that deals with it on the island. So these young women sometimes are sectioned, which is the worst thing you can do for borderline personality disorder. And the other way they are treated is sent to the mainland at the cost of £500 a day. I have raised this on several times that I don't think this is the best way of dealing with the situation or money well spent. So can you assure me that this will be looked into? Because I have raised it before with the CCG. And for reassurance of those families who are dealing with this.
As part of our work on looking at mental health services, if I will go back and check, Claire, that that specific issue is being taken into account. But there is a review being done in relation to how services are commissioned, and we're working very closely with colleagues in the Trust to look at exactly, you know, what it is possible and appropriate to deliver on the island.
Thank you. I do appreciate that, because when you think £500 a day and you can end up with 10 people there, that's £1.8 million.
So I think probably the couple of both points really would be a useful agenda item for the Health and Adult Social Care Scrutiny Committee, because this is not a scrutiny committee, but they're useful points. So I would suggest that we ask that those matters be passed over to the staff role, because we want it to be a progressive partnership. And if we don't want people to think you come here and you get put through the third degree because it's not the place that this. But I think if you're happy, we'll get that passed over to John, who's sitting in the back there listening in anyway, and he can pick up on what we might be able to do in any way to support the challenge you've got of the 9.5 million, but also to pick up on some of the areas that Claire has mentioned. And I don't know what Paul's going to say.
Neither do I. Thank you, Chair. Loretta, thank you for your report. Listen, activities of a previous quarter. Absolutely delighted to see that you've written down that new children and young people's autism assessment diagnostic service pathway has been developed and nearing completion. We're even more delighted that in the next quarter this will be implemented. I've been promised this so many times. The last time was end of February, and I'm getting so many emails about it. I was told in writing this will be done by the end of February and a backlog will be sorted or planned to be sorted. So, I'm sceptical. So, convince me it's going to happen, please.
This is more than a daily conversation, but a discussion we have. We have been working really closely with Trust colleagues because we were working together. We wanted to. We thought the best way forward was to actually commission the service from the local provider, but there have been issues. Major issues, and they are national issues in terms of trying to recruit the right members of staff, and it's proving to be a very, very difficult service to set up. But we have had some news over the last few days in terms of trying to bring it to conclusion. So we're hoping that over the next few days we can be a lot clearer on when we can actually expect things to be started, or whether we actually start having to look at other solutions as well.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. So we'll note the report, which is there. Did you want to come in? Sorry.
Oh. Sorry, if I can just add to that. We had our monthly visit from colleagues from NHSI yesterday, and I did suggest this is a national problem, as Loretta said, is that it's about time we looked at a different model, because I think we're actually not doing right by these young people. And I understand from CQC colleagues at that very same meeting that a paper's just been published called Are You Listening?, which actually may have some interesting, and I've not read it yet, I only told yesterday, there's been some decisions, some I think recommendations of how we do this differently. And it might be useful for partners to read this to then actually determine is there a different way, because this is a real national issue. And I think doing more of the same isn't going to resolve this personally.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Again, it sounds like it's a really key issue. It's a national problem. I'm just wondering, rather than send it over to scrutiny to scrutinise the issue, perhaps you could, in your July update, make sure we get a picture of where we're at with it, if that's okay.
It is on the next scrutiny agenda for children's services, high agenda. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your report. And then we're over to the NHS Trust. I think you're the new Maggie.